All right. All right, call this meeting to order. Where'd you go, Tim?
No, you're good. Do the approval of the agenda and the minutes, and then I'll have to go.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Executive Committee meeting. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I'd like to move the agenda. Is there a second? Somebody second? Discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for October 11th, 2018 and October 11th, 2018 executive session. I'd like to move approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Second. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Last item on the agenda is the informational item, FY 2018 financial statement audit and single audit. So we have only one item on our agenda today. Committee will hear from Metro's external auditors on the authority's financial statement and single audit. Under the WMATA Compact, subsection 70A requires that, quote, the report of the annual independent audit shall be prepared in accordance with general accepted accounting principles and shall be filed with the chairman and other officers as the board shall direct. I'm advised that this does not require board or committee action. So I'd like to turn the floor over to Brett Friedman from RSM, Metro's external auditor, to provide the committee with an informational overview of their findings. So, Mr. Friedman, welcome to the Metro Executive Committee meeting.
All right.
Oh, you're going first?
Okay, we're going to do a safety contact. If you don't
oh,
mind,
yeah, so. Okay. Yes, of course. Okay. Right, how could we forget?
So in case of an emergency, we're going to egress to the nearest doors, illuminated with an exit sign. We'll assemble at the lawn of the building museum across the street. There's an automated external defibrillator available behind the guard station. Fire extinguishers are strategically placed throughout the building. Restrooms are past the guard desk on the left. Today's safety contact, this is National Teen Driver Safety Week. Parents should have conversations with their teens about the important rules they should follow to stay safe behind the wheel. The following public service announcement from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration discusses this topic.
Whoa.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa.
You've been protecting your kids their whole lives, so don't just hand them the keys to a two-ton machine with no rules.
Yeah. See you guys later.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Talk it out. Tell your teenagers they have to agree to five rules to drive. No cell phones, no extra passengers, no speeding, no alcohol, and buckle up. Set the rules before they hit the road.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Is that it? You know, so that last thing is so interesting because I remember my kids, I have triplets, as you know, and when they turned like 13 or 14, I told them the most dangerous thing they will deal with for the next, 8 to 10 years will be a car. They'll either be in a car that gets in an accident, they'll be driving a car that has an accident, they'll get hit by a car, you know, and I think it's to be taken. The most dangerous thing for kids in that 13 to 21 time period is a car in many aspects. So interesting. That's very good. All right. Moving on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is Brett Friedman with RSM. It's our pleasure to be here. And I know we met a couple of weeks ago just to give the status. I'm pleased to tell you here, just quickly going to the status of the audit. I'll just be brief. But most importantly, the audit's done. The opinion's been issued. It was issued on the 22nd, an unmodified opinion. Also, we completed our testing necessary for the OMB Uniform Guidance, which is your federal awards. The programs we tested were the Federal Transit Cluster, Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act, and the Rail and Transit Security Grant Program. Just briefly going through on page 2, just discusses the scope of the audit. Just briefly touching on, we did the audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards. We provided a letter at the start of the audit just kind of laying out the timing. Most importantly, I want to point out that, again, this year, the audit and the financials, which primarily due to management, the financials are done and ready in time for your 1031 time period. So that's just something to highlight. One of the things we usually try to bring up, again, is In the financials, a lot of the items are cash basis, either cash received or cash expended, but there are some accounting estimates. So on page 4, we just briefly mentioned those key estimates, which is unearned fare revenues, pension benefit assumptions, post-employment benefits, and liability for injury and damage claims. The key thing there is that a lot of times those have assumptions built into them. The last three for pension, OPEB, and self-insurance use an actuary. We did review the assumptions used by management, noted they were consistently applied and reasonable. In the current year, there were a number of new standards, only one of significance, really, which was GASB 75 required the recording of the entire other post-employment benefit liability on the face of the district's financials. Continuing on, we brought up there was one item we were discussing with management. They made the audit adjustment, non-cash item, not of significance, but just had to do with the accelerated depreciation for the 5,000 series cars. There were some uncorrected misstatements. We just bring these to your attention just because they're items that were deemed to be immaterial or, you know, insignificant in relation to the financials, but just bring it to your attention as those with oversight. A couple of required communications. We noted no alternative treatments that were not in accordance with GAAP. We had no disagreements with management. We're not aware of them having any other consultations with other auditors. No significant difficulties. No significant items discussed with management. Want to go ahead and compliment Dennis, LaToya, and their team. Very responsive, getting us what we needed. And, you know, it's really kind of important to have that partnership to get everything done timely. Appreciate their help. In addition to this, we have a couple other letters we provide. There's the management representation letter, which is attached to this presentation. That's provided by management, supports the audit. Also, when we have just recommendations of best practices or improvements, we provide those to management. Again, those items are just nothing's wrong, just things we see that maybe could be better. Next, just briefly, summary of findings starts on page 9, but I'll take you just quickly to page 12. Just want to highlight this here because I think, you know, I've been involved since 15, and it really shows a dramatic improvement. You know, if you see there, you went from 26 findings in 14 to 2 findings this year, which, again, that's attributed to the changes being made by your staff and by the GM, and, you know, that's just something I think important to highlight. Also, the management comments you see had a high of 10, and they dropped down to 4. So, and then the only other thing just to point out, there is two other reports that are going to be done. And one is the agreed-upon procedures required by the National Transit Database. And then the second one is the reconciliation of expenses for RCSC and RSMA. And with that, open it up if you have any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions from board members? Anybody have anything? Nope, everything good? Okay, Mike. Yep.
Sir, the concept of unearned fare revenues, does that just represent the amount of money on Smart Trip cards that haven't been actually used by riders?
Yes. Yeah, that's essentially what it is, yes.
Is there any other amount of income that's included in that concept besides the unearned money on Smart Trip cards?
No, not that I recall, because most of your grants are done on a drawdown basis, so there is no unearned income there. So it is just the Smart Trip.
I was thinking about the university cards that are received, that are issued to students at universities. Is that so if that's not treated as unearned revenue, so that is all treated as earned revenue, and the money actually comes from the university, it's not allocated over
right, you're talking about like royalty fees, yeah, that would be recorded when received.
Okay, so that would not be included in
right.
No. Thank you, that's my
yep.
So I have one thing I'd like to just further elaborate on. It's the other post-employment benefits. As you mentioned, that is an item. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. The other post-employment benefits, which is GASB 75, kind of followed 68, which was for pensions. And this covers primarily, you know, healthcare-related costs and the
right.
subsidies that are required to be provided. This is not something that's new, but to try and make it consistent with other, you know, public companies and things, it required reporting now on the face of the statements. So this liability, which was always buried in the footnotes, now the entire liability has to go on the statements. One of the highlights of that is this is a long-term obligation. It's not all due next year, but you have to book the entire obligation based on the actuary.
And it's $1.8 billion, something like that?
I think you're around that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's Clarence.
Question. By changing the way that this is reported, so this will become more visible as we seek funding and things of that nature. Before it was sort of buried in the footnotes. So up front now it's going to be mentioned. That's going to possibly be considered by potential financial institutions that may be willing to loan us money or whatever.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing with that is, yes, technically it's included in there, but if you speak with all those agencies, also the rating agencies, they'll tell you they already kind of had systems to factor that in. Because okay. The other part is they realize that it's not due in the short term, so they kind of project out. So, but okay. It is now. Yes.
Okay. So final comments. First of all, congratulations. Thank you for all your hard work. Right. 4 years ago, as you mentioned, we were not where we are today. We were 9 months late on our audit, and it was not a clean audit, and there were significant problems. Today, we are having a clean audit on time, as we did last year, and we're making improvements every year. So it always harkens back to my dealings with the District of Columbia, and in 1996, Tony Williams became the CFO. We hadn't had a clean audit in several years. Tony said, if I don't have a clean audit on time this year, I will quit. And indeed, he delivered a clean audit on time, but he always tells the second part of the story was after he made that announcement, he sat down with his staff and he said, if we don't have a clean audit on time, I'm going to quit. But before I do that, I'm going to fire every one of you, and then I will quit. So I always found that to be an amusing story. And the district today celebrated its 22nd clean on-time audit, and I think Metro is in a course to do that as well. So I want to not only thank you and your people, but also the staff at Metro, Dennis and his entire financial group who have worked enormously hard to get us to a point where having a clean audit on time is a routine item, not an extraordinary item. And so that's a real extensive accomplishment. So thank you all and Metro staff for all of your hard work in bringing us to this place. What else we got on this? Anything else? Okay. With that, if there's nothing else to come before the order, the meeting's adjourned.